Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit, now I want you to remember that, Holy Spirit calls missionaries. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Did he say, "I am setting apart these men"? No. Who is he speaking to here? A large New Testament church now. Now who did the Lord give the commission to? The Lord's church. He gave it to the church of Jerusalem, then it spread out and made other churches. And here we have the Lord telling this church, "Set these men apart because I do not have the authority anymore because I have delegated it now." Okay, I've delegated this authority. Though I have called this man, it is your job now to set them apart. Put them to work. It's in your hands. Okay? Have you ever known of a person that, you go to work on a farm, and the boss says, "Now I'm not coming back here anymore. This farm is in your hands. I will have nothing to say about this farm anymore until I come back to receive what is mine. I want my produce. I want everything. Whatever is mine, I want it. You take your wages out of this, and you take care of this from now on. I'm coming back later on. Do you do this?" Now, this was done many times. It's been done in the farm work a lot. The landowner just goes off and sets the man out there and says, "Now, this is what I want done. You're the foreman here." I used to work on a farm, a ranch, actually, up in Bishop. That guy came up there about two times a year, I don't know. He'd come up there very often and all. All he did come up there and say, "How you doing?" "Fine, good. See you later." We did everything that was there to be done. He didn't come and tell us, "Hey, you got to do this, you got to do that." He laid down the law. He said, "You do this for my best interest. You're going to get paid for it. The more money I make, the more money you make. Now just take care of the place. Bye." That's the way it was done. And it's done this way in many, many places. Well, the Lord did that way to His church at some point when He gave Him the Great Commission. You know that the Bible teaches that we're not going to do anything for a reward without receiving, or do anything for the Lord without receiving a reward. He's going to pay us for it. Okay? But He laid down some certain laws, some specific laws that we're to go by. The Lord left those laws with His assembly. Okay? And then He walked off and left those assemblies, says, "You have laws now," or literally He gave them to them later, you know, in the New Testament up to about, 100 A.D., finally the Bible was completed, and all the laws that they needed were in the New Testament, okay? Until that time, He inspired them as they went along, okay? Then messages. But they were to take care of what the Lord had given them to do. No one else could do it. The Lord specifies, says, "I want my church to do this mission work." He specified that. Now, does that mean someone else can go out and do mission work? How about individuals? Only as members of the New Testament church. That's all. You're to go out. Judy's supposed to witness to people and everything else. I'm supposed to witness to people. But I don't do it by my own authority. I do it by the authority of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. That's how. That's the only way that it can be done, because God has specified that's the way it is to be done. Okay? And the specification of one thing is what? The prohibition of everything else. Okay? God specified that, and He made no other loopholes or laws or expenditures for anything else. "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. In other words, they ordained them and sent them away. Now, it tells later on from verses 4 on down there what Paul and Barnabas did. But the Lord told us through His Holy Spirit here, the inspired word through the man Luke, that penned these words for the Lord, He told us how mission work was to be done. Now, the American Baptist Association that we are a member of, that we are a part of, that we associate in, and sometimes I strain using those words, because American Baptist Association is really nothing. It's nothing at all. According to the laws of the state, or the government, we had to organize and incorporate the American Baptist Association, so it would have the authority to have a major council. And it can be sued, and it can't sue, because these are the laws, we have to comply to them. But the American Baptist Association is really nothing. There's only one time it even exists. It's when that?
When it meets.
When it meets, and that's all. You know, Brother, you know how Brother Madden is. He says things so plain, brings about so plain at times. He said one time, he said, I was there in my office in Anaheim, and I was studying the Word, and the mailman came, and I went out there and picked up some mail, you know, like he talks like that, and he said, here was this letter from the office of the president of the American Baptist Association. I looked at that and I said, there's no such thing as that. I wonder what kind of deal this is. He said, don't find out that the president is going to meet. Otherwise, there's nothing there to be president of. You know? I looked at that. Well, anyway, he went on about it. Really, it doesn't exist except when it meets. But we do have a Baptist Sunday School Committee that is operated by the American Baptist Association, that is by the churches of the American Baptist Association. Okay? The churches. A cooperation, an association, is a group of churches that have bonded together to carry out some facet of a commission in a greater way, in a cooperative way. We find out in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, that churches bonded together in supporting missionaries. We find out there no association of churches. We find out where churches met. Remember the council at Jerusalem? Now this was a council there, an association meeting, and the reason why it met is because there were some doctrinal differences between some of the churches, and they needed to get these things straightened out. Of course, they had a direct leadership of the Holy Spirit at that time, so it was a lot easier than what it is today. Well, they didn't have the Word of God like we do today either, did they? We have the Word of God, the laws of God written down. Of course, we understand those basic laws, and every now and then somebody gets all excited and goes on a wild tangent and has a hissy, so to speak. And we have to kind of look at this situation a little bit. We have some problems in our work today, and I've stated this before, over missions taking the Lord's Supper. Well, missions cannot take the Lord's Supper, but some of them have been doing it. A mission has no authority to take the Lord's Supper, do they? Who did the Lord give the Lord's Supper to?
Church.
Okay. Now, if something is not a church, you can't take the Lord's Supper, so it's plain as that. Okay? Sister Judy. No. That's what I was going to get to next. A mission, really, according to the Word of God, you cannot find one in the Bible. That is a modern invention of the Southern Baptist Convention that rubbed off on us. That's first thing. In the Bible, you will find out that they did not establish missions. They established churches. They may have been very small churches, and other people helped support them. But because of the ideas of men today and the things that are going on today, we establish missions, and then we establish those missions in the churches. Now, if you establish a small church, that small church, I don't care if it's three people, has the right to take the Lord's Supper if they want to take it. Isn't that right? Now, one of the biggest promoters of missions taking the Lord's Supper is John McClung. John McClung, in his mind, he believes that there are no such things as missions. They are churches. All right? So I agree with John. Fine. Let these things take the Lord's Supper, but at least stand up and tell them what they are. They're really churches, aren't they? Really churches. But why don't we establish them in church? Bergstrasser and pastor there at Porterville, Bernasconi, and Larry Wood, and several other pastors went up to CMBI here the other day and wanted to know their beliefs on this issue. Are they going to stop supporting the school? And they haggled and went on about this, and so they asked Brother Hubbard, "Brother Hubbard, what do you think about this? You know, you study the original language and everything else, and we want to know your opinion on this." Brother Lee talked to him, and he said, "Brother Reed," he said, "I think we simply need to get back to Bible practices and just establish churches, and nobody's going to have enough roll over anything with them. Just establish those missions, what we call missions, in the church. Nobody's going to get their feelings hurt then." He said, just do what we ought to do. But then we have brethren that like to oversee works. That's how the Catholic Church got started with. Bishops that oversaw other smaller churches and said, "Hey, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I'm going to cut you off." Now, isn't that to some extent what we're doing here? Mission work? I'll agree with you that we have a lot of heresies in the world today. And I hate to sink our money into a work that then, after it gets 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, or $100,000, $150,000 of our money goes astray. But we've got problems over inconsistency among our brethren. None of this will take the candlestick away. But what is it? Inconsistency, that's all. Problems that arise. Arguments over differences of opinion. And why do we have them? Because we've departed somehow from the Word. That's all. Simply. Well, let's go back into history now. The General Association of Baptists of the United States of America was formed in 1905. Okay? That was what became, or one of the associations that became, the American Baptist Association. This is the association that Brother Ben M. Bogard was in, and several others of our brethren that are still and have stayed in our work as the ABA. Now, the General Association of Baptists of the United States of America, that was its official title. They call it the General Association, or the General Baptist Association. This was organized the 22nd of March, 1905, okay? And this organization lasted until 1924, and it was disbanded. It stopped. Now, actually, the thing didn't meet but once a year, did it? It basically had the same principles that we do. It was made up of independent Baptist churches that looked at each other as independent sovereign churches. And the reason that they were associating together was so that they could do a better job in sending out foreign missionaries, and they wanted to print Sunday school literature. I want to tell you this also. This is a whole lot of history tonight. During this period of time, there were very few Sunday schools in missionary Baptist works. Very few Sunday schools. You know, we hear some of our older brethren sometimes and everything else, how they used to say it, boy, when we used to go to church, we went to church all day. Man, I mean, we got there at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning and we had services all day. You know, and here you don't want to sit for 30 minutes or an hour on the pew, you ungodly buzzards. Well, if you want to go to church all day, fine. But a law of mankind tells you that you cannot absorb any more than the seed can endure. If you have your mind on your hurting back because you've been sitting there all day long and you're all cramped up and everything else, you cannot concentrate well. Isn't that right? But let's go back to the practices of these brethren at that period of time, from around 1900 to about 1945, 50. How often did they go to church? Did they go to church 3 times a week like we did? They would go to church once a month sometimes. Or they would go to church twice a month every other Sunday. So they'd go out there and have a great big feed all day long. They'd go out there and have fried potatoes, and they would get these big old cauldrons that they used to wash dishes, or not dishes, but clothes in. And they'd take those things and fill them with hog lard and get a big fire going underneath them and throw fried potatoes and throw them in there and pull them out, and everybody'd have a big old feast. They'd eat together. They'd have all day services once a month, or maybe twice a month. Fine. That's the way it did. Some of those brethren lived 20 miles away from that church, and they had to go to it by buggy and horse. And they worked 10, 12, 14, 15, 16 hours a day to make a living. The times were different. And at home, they would read the Bible, because they didn't have to be reading on the farm all the way. Didn't have very many radios to do it either. Nothing to keep them away from God. When they had their daily work, they got together at night time before they went to bed and they read the Bible like we watch TV. They were still influenced by the Word of God. But the only bad thing about it was they were not guided as well in it. They did not know how to interpret the Word. They had some of the most weirdest ideas that you could shake a stick at. And our preachers knew that something had to be done. Something had to be done. Why were our people being led astray by Methodists and Presbyterians and Calvinists and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses? Why? Because they were not found in the Word of God. And you cannot found and build people up in the Word of God with that type of a system. So they said, well, if we're going to have preaching, we ought to at least have Sunday school. Well, teach him what the Bible teaches, and then preach to him. The same day. Okay? So they would have these quarter-time churches, which meant they met once a month. And by the way, this was kind of a leave-over from an old law that said missionary Baptists or Baptist preachers could not preach in the county over once a month anyway. So that's all they could hold church once a month legally, unless they'd be fined or whatever. And they said, well, let's start Sunday school, but we need some Sunday school literature. Now, this was in 1905. So they founded a Sunday school literature in the General Baptist Association, okay? And they started having Sunday schools in some churches. And they tried to educate their preachers. They wanted a seminary. And they had a seminary in Sheridan, Arkansas. And the association owned that school and run the school, which was really unscriptural. Okay? It wasn't too good of a practice. But the association can't do anything. Who is supposed to own and operate a school? If anyone is. The Lord's New Testament Church, the only authority has been given to teach. Okay? Well, finally this school played out during the Depression and died. Because of lack of funds. People didn't have enough money to eat on, let alone give. So finally, it died. Rosemary, did you have a question a minute ago?
Oh, no. You were talking about how these people were so ignorant to the Word I was just going to say that when the Book of Mormon first came out, they were reading it in all the churches. They were reading that book.
Mm-hmm.
Until claims came out that it wasn't, you know.
Well, a lot of Baptists, well, they may have read it in some Baptist churches, but many denominations were reading it.
Campbellite and Presbyterian and all those,
yeah.
You know.
Baptists and stuck by the Bible, whether they knew what meant or not. And that's the same way we are today, if we don't learn and how to interpret the Word of God for ourselves. You are not founded in the Word of God until you can take that book from Genesis to Revelation and read it without getting all wired up and crossed up and everything. You may not understand everything that's in the Bible, and you never will, not in this life. It's going to take all eternity to take care of that, and that has no end.
Yeah.
Think about it. You're going to be learning the Word all your life, for all eternity. But you need to learn how to interpret the Word. Basically, you need to find out how much authority the Word of God has in your life. Going a little further now, there were many associations. There was an association called the Baptist Missionary Association. Yes, excuse me.
Did you say this association closed because of Baptist?
Not the association, the school. Now, the school closed after, this school closed after the General Association ceased existing. But it was started by the General Association, okay? The school was started by the General Association of Baptists. But it ceased being. It died in 1929, 30, 31, 32, 33. Okay, that's about the end of it. 1933 is when it closed the door. They just didn't have any money. They were several thousand dollars in debt and had to sell the property and everything else to even pay the debt of the school. And at this time, several other associations had come in with the General Baptist Association, and what I said a minute ago, the Baptist Missionary Association, the Nunnery Convention, it's called the Nunnery Convention, it was actually association, it's called a convention. It doesn't really mean any difference. If you want to call something a convention, fine, just as long as it doesn't have any authority of the churches. Okay? Well, the BMA, the Baptist Missionary Association, especially the Baptist Missionary Association of Texas, very strong. This association was growing quite a bit. It was doing mission work in Portugal. They had a fine mission work going in Portugal. So they tried to start something, a unification movement, to unify all independent Baptist churches and get them into one large association where they could do a better work, where they could put out better Sunday school literature of their own, because I don't care whether they were printing their own Sunday school literature or not, but they were still using that universal Sunday school literature. These Baptists were doing this. Now, we have some of these back in our library back here. I'll be right back in just a moment. And in the Christian world, that is, and I can't think of the man's name that used to write them, but you can get some of these old Sunday school lessons and everything, and look at them when they went through Genesis and everything. It told you all about it was kind of a pictorial Bible study type thing. And churches would have one copy of them usually, and the teacher would get it and teach from this lesson. So they would have some lesson. In other words, they'd just get there and just kind of haphazard and hit and miss, and kind of like. I'll teach through books of the Bible, and I pretty much know what I'm going to teach every Sunday, okay? I have a laid out lesson plan. But then I'll have several other sermons that I think need to be thrown in there from time to time. Right now I'm teaching like that, some of these other sermons. But it's kind of, they would make, the whole day would be like that. And sometimes, and this is true, one preacher would have two or three sermons that he preached over and over and over, time after time after time after time. That's the only sermon he'd ever preach. Some preachers had one sermon, and they would preach the thing every time and every place. And then some of the more educated ones would have three or four sermons that they preached. Or sometimes they would have one new sermon a month. And they would go preach it to all of their four churches. Or whatever. Or if they traveled and they pastored, they would be a pastor of seven or eight churches. And someone would have services every other month. And they would go and preach the same sermon all the way through. They'd get pretty good at it when they got to the end. But this is the way things were done back then. It's a lot. We look at it today and we laugh, you know. But that was the way things were done. That was the time. But now we are looking back on history. Well, all of these little associations banded together and in 1924 started the American Baptist Association of America. Okay? And that was not its original name. It was called the American Baptist Missionary Association of America at first. But they had some problems when they wanted to name it that because the BMA was giving them a lot of trouble. The BMA, have you ever heard Brother Madden talk about Texas Brethren? How proud they are and everything? And that the great state of Texas, you know. Everything they say, great state. Really, it's real, Brad. It's real that way. Those people have an extreme amount of pride. Well, the BMA of Texas had an extreme amount of pride in their ways and their mission work and everything else. And for the other people to even join with them in this associational effort, all the other churches that had been in the other associations had to give and bend over backwards to even get the BMA to even join the ABA. And to tell you the truth, they never did join. To be truthful. Well, they wanted to name this new association the American Baptist Missionary Association. Now, if you took off American off the front, what would you have? BMA. And some of the other brethren said, hey, we bent over backwards too many times. Oh, they're probably going to stop, take off American. One of these days, it'll be the BMA, and here we all join the BMA, you know. And we know how hard-headed they are. If they get mad at us, they'll just kick us out. Well, let me see here. I've got a... Let's see if I can find it here. I had it marked before. I'll read to you what it says here. In this book. By the way, I'm reading a book. Hold on for a minute, maybe I can find this. All right, Dr. Glover said, the fact is that there had been quite a bit of criticism among some of the brethren with reference to the wording of certain of these articles. The criticism was against Texas. Texas had just demanded so much of these other associations. They would not even turn over their mission work to them until they absolutely saw fit that they could absolutely support it. And they said, now, our mission work will have preeminence. If everybody else's mission work that you've had up to this so far, if we cannot support our mission work that we've had in the BMA, if it's necessary, we'll cut off all others to support ours before we'll join. And they finally got the other churches to sign this agreement that they would do it. These are just some of the things that they did. All right, it says the criticism was against Texas. As you know, there was a little feeling of uneasiness between the different groups. They had to come to some conditions upon which they could agree and unify. They wanted to get everything out of the way as much as possible, and they had the Baptist Missionary Association of Texas, and at one time, the association in Oklahoma was called the Baptist Missionary Association of Oklahoma. The objection was based on the idea that maybe the Baptist Missionary Association of Texas was getting a little too much prominence in it by adding their name to the new association. The name would have been the same except American would have been added to it as a prefix. All right, now that's what they said there. That's what Brother Glover says. By the way, I did talk to Brother Glover the other night. I found out by reading this book that he knew something about the work that was in La Mesa, Texas that our church came out of. Okay? So I called back and I asked him if he did, and he said no. He was not really acquainted with the work there. See, this came out of the Southern Baptist Church. And he was not acquainted with that work, actually. He knew it existed, but he didn't know any of the brethren. But he said he knew someone that did. And that was the president of the American Baptist Association at this time, Vernon L. Barr. So I called Vernon Barr, and he said, yes, he knew of the work there, and he knew that it was the Southern Baptist work. And he knew it was a church. He said he didn't know what church that it came out of. But of course, we know that it came out of Abilene, Texas in 1907. Well, I asked him about some of the brethren that pastored this church, and I read off names, and he knew about 10 of those names. He said those men were sound Baptists. They preached the word, and they believed just like we do, even though they were Southern Baptists. He said, you don't have anything to worry about. Your church being scriptural. He said, that was a scriptural church. And that did give us that much. We found out somebody that knew those people. Now that we had one more, at least effort it took us, what's it taken? A year and a half since the last contact that I made on it. Just about a year and a half, I think. Something like that. Sometimes these things go slow. Anyway, I told Brother Barr to look into this. What?
You started in September.
I know that, but we have not made contact. We didn't find anything else out about it at all.